All right, might as well officially start the show now. There's enough people watching on both, and everything's working. Let's make it official, because crypto's all about, you know, official words and centralized authorities and stuff like that, right?
Ceremonies.
All right, here we go. Ready, 3, 2, 1, boom. All right, so hey everyone, a very happy Friday to you. It's actually a very nice, lovely, sunny, warm day for me here. Might not be for everyone, depending on where you're at, but welcome to Digital Cash Rundown. I'm joined by the one and only Carlos Cano for this. How's it going, man?
Hello, Carlos here. And yes, I'm depressed, slightly. Not too much.
Yeah, it hits the worst. It hits the best of us. It is how long have you been in crypto? I can't remember.
I got into crypto in 2018, so right in time for the bear market after ICO time. But scared over the overall possibility of a looming bear market. It's a good chance to accumulate. You said something like that, right? Like right now you should be actually considering having a stable source of income so that you can make the most out of this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Like, that's the thing that annoys me about the cyclical nature of crypto today, which I don't think will always be that way. I mean, there will still be market cycles, but the thing is, it's so hard to get anything done. Like, the attention moves with the cycles. And so, like, for example, it's really hard to... You need, like, people run on that big run up. Everyone wants to know how to get into crypto on the big run up. And then on the way down, it's just hard to get things going. You know, it's hard to get like, oh yeah, I invested. Like, why don't you get into this project? It's really doing cool things. Ah, it's tanking. Everything's tanking. And it's like, well, why don't you, it still works as money. Why don't you do that? Like, well, why don't I buy it and it's going to go down? Like, which is valid, you know? So my favorite part is at the bear market bottom. Like right after that is my favorite part, because you know, now you have some certainty. It doesn't have any tanks anymore. It's like, all right, this is a good spot. I can just work with this. It's not going to get any worse. And then it can go up. But even if it never went up, if it was just that, I like that stability personally, which is maybe why I'm like a shitty crypto investor or whatever, because I'm not
a UST maximalist.
But no, I didn't have very much UST, but that's a different thing. Well, before we jump into the UST thing, cointr.ee/thedesertlinks, keep your poor boy happy by throwing me some coins and asking some questions during this whole thing. I still watch the regular live chat. Great Wolf said, oh my gosh, you got Carlos Matos on. Oh wait, wrong Carlos. Was that the BitConnect guy? I remember his name was Carlos.
Yeah, the BitConnect guy. Yeah.
Those are the good old days when
those were the days, man. Yeah. Would you imagine like knowing that there was gonna be all this shit nowadays, like after that happened, like that we were going to be in 2022 after a pandemic and with these NFTs that are worth nothing now and these fucking stable coins imploding? It's been you never get bored in crypto. Like, there's never not enough to talk about.
Yeah. And on, like, the Luna subject and the BitConnect subject, I believe it was January, like the first week. No, it was December. October. Somewhere in October of 2017, BitConnect was number 8th on CoinMarketCap, which I think is higher than Luna ever was. So to think that, like, we've come a long way, that... Something that, like, people really thought that Luna was a great project and might still have the potential to be, you know, it could just be something wrong with it. But a lot of people knew BitConnect was a complete scam, like a literal Ponzi scheme, you know, like a, and while most people in crypto probably knew that, it was a top 10 coin at the same time. And we're
those
not
were the dates, man. Yeah. You could just run a Ponzi. Freely.
Yeah. it, you could just do whatever you want, and then you can't really do that anymore. Like you can still scam people and people do it, but I feel like everyone knows more that they're a scam. Like the biggest like scam money grab kind of coins are like, man, I want to be like Shiba Inu. I don't want to be too mean, but it's true. Just like, but everyone kind of knows that like Shiba and Doge and stuff are like, it's for the memes. Like everyone kind of knows that they don't have real value and they're just trying to like get somewhere with them. Like, oh, maybe if we pump them enough, maybe they will. But they know it's a joke, you know, even if they're taking the joke too seriously. But like BitConnect, a lot of people really thought that that was like a good solid project back in the day.
Even Elon stopped with the whole Doge thing. He's not doing that anymore. And at some point, it looked like he was that serious about like making people actually use it as a currency. And it looks like he just discovered the whole limits of this stupidity.
Yeah, I think he was just trying to see how far he could push the system. And he kind of pushed it until he finally figured out, all right, this is what happens. And then he got bored and then he stopped. But Luna is not boring. So for those who have been living under a rock, Terra Luna, I should say was, because it's kind of dead at the moment. Some recent developments, but kind of dead, was a top 10 crypto project, which basically, for lack of a better way of describing it, is kind of like a crypto central bank, sort of, in that it issued a stable coin, like a US dollar pegged thing, and then had a loans platform and stuff like that, where you could earn interest for lending out your money, and then you could borrow too. And it was kind of like the entire like USD or like stable coin like economic platform. And so what happened? And so basically it all crashed because the mechanism was you have Luna, which is the token, and then you create a stable coin, UST, the US dollar one was the biggest one, by burning, destroying whatever amount. Like if you want to create $500, you burn whatever $500 worth of Luna get. Those get destroyed and they create 500 UST. And then on the other end, if you want to exit those, you can always burn it back out and go back into Luna. And just the back and forth pegging mechanism basically made it so that if ever the price of UST depegged to where it was like, say, 90 cents, then someone would be like, oh, I'm going to buy some of that because then I can always redeem it for $1 worth of Luna and then I make money. The problem was there was a collapse event where basically a run on the banks where people could not burn it fast enough, where they could not get rid of it fast enough. The price, because at that point, let's just say this, the price is 70 cents, and you say, I'm going to buy a bunch of Luna and then buy a bunch of UST, get it redeemed for $1 worth of Luna, but then it's not going to be even $1 worth of Luna because it's going to crash too fast. So then, because of that, it just became, an absolute cataclysm. And then I think UST was a top 10 coin, like the stable coin by market cap. Now they're somewhere in the top 50 last I checked, like an hour or so ago. And then the Luna coin is just dead. It's like 1,000th place, just gone.
It's like as near as getting to zero as it might get.
Yes.
Because, like, that's the thing. I mean, it's interesting because we've seen algorithmic stable coins fail before. We saw it with the Iron Finance thing. And it was basically the same model with very slight differences. Some differences with some, including me before this crash, because I'm not gonna act like I knew. Thought were big enough or significant enough for it to not be a problem down the line. Now, what happened is that it effectively was a problem down the line. The holding collapsed all the way to the ground. And now there's a very big Luna community because Luna was like one of the biggest TVL chains. I don't
Of
know if it
course.
was top three or top two, but like it was
Who's up
pretty
there?
much where DeFi was happening. So you have to. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens to all of this community now.
Yeah, I think that they're still going to stick around. So, From what I'm able to tell, so Do Kwon, or as some people are calling him, Do Kwon from like Homer Simpson, Do, has released some posts basically talking about like restructuring the whole Luna thing. Basically, UST and Luna are like dead, and he basically wants to do a new chain and like reward token holders at a certain point, like kind of airdrop them, recompense for whatever happened and stuff. And I don't know, we'll see how it goes. I mean, I have a little bit of UST. I was like playing around with it, but like not enough to where I got like stressed when the whole thing happened. I was just like, oh, ooh, that's what's happened with that, you know? But
I thought I had a whole more Luna than I actually did. When I looked back to see how much I lost, because I did whole Luna, I'm like, okay, I didn't have that much, so maybe I knew what in some level what was gonna happen, man.
yeah, it was just to play around with. And you know, for full disclosure, if you do check back on this channel, I do have, oh, I think, one short video and one longer video about stable coins and stuff that tells you how to stake on Anchor and stuff like that with Luna. And so, yeah, that's not any good anymore. You can't do it anymore. You know, it's done. But if you people who watch, especially this live show, the last few weeks, the last Friday in particular was the one that I think did it. So I'm sorry for ruining your fortunes. But I expressed concern, I guess, skepticism about Luna, basically saying I'm getting kind of Justin Sun vibes from this Do Kwon guy, of like, it's kind of like he kind of made it like it's supposed to be an algorithmic stable coin that worked. And then all of a sudden he's buying tons of Bitcoin, wanting to be one of the biggest Bitcoin holders. It's like, it felt almost like he got free scammy money and then wanted to put it in something real before the scam was up, sort of like when Tron was like buying, when Justin Sun was like buying everything that, you know, was irrelevant kind of. But it kind of gave those vibes. And yeah, and I was like, the fact that you're buying Bitcoin to keep it stable doesn't inspire confidence in the stability of the peg. And that was what I was saying last week. I mean, a couple weeks ago as well, but also last week on the show. And then like right after it crashed. So I apologize for anyone whose fortunes I may have inadvertently destroyed. I should have been positive the entire time, and then you all would still have money. I'm sorry. I take full responsibility, but you know, whatever.
And you know, it's I mean, this whole Bitcoin thing that you touched on, I don't remember too well what was his proposal for it. I mean, because I know that they started selling it just to try and keep the stability of the token, but I do not remember what was the plan or how was that supposed to stabilize the whole thing. Do you?
No, I think it's kind of like a backing thing. So if it becomes unstable, if you sell a lot of Bitcoin to then convert it to UST or Luna or whatever, that pumps up the price, I guess. So if the price is crashing, you pump it up. And so, and also more than that, I guess it was meant to be just owning it is like a confidence builder, meaning that the value of the Luna ecosystem can never go lower than the Bitcoin. The thing is, it wasn't part of the peg, right? It was just like an extra thing to maybe do some market manipulation to help it. But if it was actually to the point where users could redeem their Luna or their UST or whatever for pieces of Bitcoin directly, if they could get it, that would have been very different, right? That would have been very different, because then people are like, this is at least good for some Bitcoin. It's not, well, this is good for this Luna, which might be worthless, and they're trying to sell Bitcoin to buy the Luna to make it not worthless, but when that's selling's done, it's still worthless. It's kind of like, it's an exercise of market manipulation, kind of, that, you know, I don't think, I think as we can see right now, didn't pan out well. I expected it not to work out, but I did not expect it to crash so quickly, and definitely not for another few months or years. So,
That's an interesting idea. Like, if that would have happened, if you would have been able to redeem your UST for some Bitcoin, whatever happened, that might effectively have put a floor on the price of UST, and it might have helped crash Bitcoin a little bit, but at least it would have had a floor. I'm just very surprised no one's calling that this economist was right the whole time. Like, she called it right away. Is a no pegging mechanism is gonna protect your project from people rushing to the door, and that's what happened. Got killed in a stampede.
So I think like there's a few lessons I think we can learn from this whole thing. Which I mean obviously it's everything's like hindsight, whatever. The challenge is trying to find like smart things, not just, well, it's never gonna work, like the kind of dumb ideas. But like one thing's for sure, before this crash happened, the market capitalization of UST surpassed that of Luna. So that means that, it's hard to tell because it was that weird like algorithmic burning kind of thing, but one could make the argument that it was insolvent at that point, really, because there wasn't enough value in Luna to absorb the value of exiting UST. And obviously it's not like, it's not like you'd redeem it for newly created Luna, right? But then assuming the same, you inflate the supply, but the same value would be the same market cap, kind of, except that when you're with that much inflation, that'd probably even push it lower. So the first thing, therefore, is I don't think you should be able to under collateralize an algorithmic stablecoin, right? I think that if you're going to redo Luna, you'd maybe cap it at 10 to 50% of the market cap of Luna kind of thing. So even if like if it say it's 50%, then on the process of selling it off, the market cap of Luna goes down by half. It still evens out. Or but if it's like a 10 to 1 thing, then that's like, all right, that makes sense. Like 10 to 1 collateralization kind of thing. That's one lesson I think we would take.
Which is what DAI was originally, right? Like, nowadays they're incorporating USDC as well into their collateral basket. And I would say that's a bit preoccupying, because if something happens to USDC, which is a very much centralized stablecoin, then your decentralized, quote unquote, stablecoin also suffers. So I think that's definitely a move that DAI is going to have to rethink, especially now that there's so much added pressure to, or you could even call it like a larger excuse to put pressure on stablecoins.
Yeah, for sure. And there could have definitely been some ulterior motives, in causing this whole thing. But one thing I pointed out, I made this short like TikTok length video earlier in the week about the Terra thing. And basically the other point in that is pegging assets never works 100%, because when you peg an asset completely, you're telling the market, which is everyone's brains, this is worth this much. You have to value this at $1. And I mean, you can get close, but you can't tell me what I'm going to value it as. The closest you can get is make it directly redeemable for $1. So therefore, the value has to be very close to it. But even then, a stable coin for some people is less valuable than a dollar, because even if you can redeem it for a dollar in your bank account, you can't. It's there's a possibility, there's always a risk that it doesn't turn out that way. So the risk has to be priced in, or it might be more valuable because you can use all this DeFi stuff, which you can't do with your dollars in your bank. And so then it might be priced higher. So you can't, I don't believe you can peg a one, like 100% peg on things. I think that trying to pursue that is a fool's errand. In fact, I don't think you should try, because you'll never be able to peg something 1 to 1 100% of the time. You can get close though. And so I personally think that, like, especially if you have an algorithmic stablecoin or something, you should get it to where it's stable enough and then settle for that and not be like, it has to be $1 unless it's actually backed by dollars in a bank account, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. Redeemability, I mean, you have to have some ties to the real world, and I don't think if this is the failure or the ultimate end of the algorithmic model. But I mean, at some point, this kind of thing will just, I mean, how many more algorithmic stablecoins need to fail in order for people to give up trying to do algorithmic stablecoins?
Yeah, and that's the real story with Luna. I mean, Luna for me kind of came out of nowhere. I just heard this thing. Oh, it's so hyped. It's so like, oh, it's the future of everything. And then I also didn't know it got everyone putting their life savings into it. Like, based on, and this is like the worst part of this whole thing, obviously. Some dude on Twitter who's a big Luna fan is deep into the community, posted how he knows at least eight people who have killed themselves over this, you know, because they lost
Really,
everything.
that one, that many?
It's probably a lot more, a few more. I hate to be negative, it's probably a few more, but I just the dozens and dozens of stories. This is like BitConnect level stuff. If you're around during the BitConnect stuff, you saw all these people, oh, I lost everything. Oh my gosh. Like all this kind of, you know, really sad stuff. I had no idea that people were putting all, like, I thought it was just people in the crypto space. Oh, I got like my Bitcoin bag, got my ETH bag, and I put it on Luna. I see this is exciting. I thought it was like that kind of a thing, which it was. I didn't know some people put everything into it, which is like, man. And like some people I know personally put way more than I would have expected them to put into it, you know, to a single project. It was a little strange. But more than that, I mean, not more than that. Nothing's more than like people dying over this, having lives ruined. But beyond that, what this is provides a little more uncertainty for, I don't think is necessarily stable coins, but it's on algorithmic DeFi. More specifically, I think Thorchain. Thorchain is one of the projects out there that I'm most impressed by, bullish about, I think is the most useful. It that being said, it does pose some complications for a few things. First off, Thorchain does use a lot of synthetic kind of asset type things. So for example, if you put You can get a synthetic Bitcoin, which is backed by the value of the Bitcoin pool, which is 50% collateralized by Bitcoin, at 50% by Rune. So there's always, and I think they limited the synthetic amount by, I think, 10% right now. So no more than 10% of the pool can be done. So it's literally 5x collateralized by just the Bitcoin, and then also 5x collateralized by the Rune. So even if the Rune goes to nothing, you could still get your real Bitcoin out. Like it's still. So that's a way more responsible way, but it's still, there's a lot of like the Thor ecosystem goes by pools, which are collateralized half with a native asset, but half with Rune. So there's always that possibility that the Rune does a Luna and just gets completely decimated. But at least there's plenty of the real asset that people can get out, that it's like, it's not as bad. But then the other thing is the ThorFi ecosystem that they're trying to build. A lot of it relied on this, or at least the original white paper, from what I remember, relied on a stablecoin, an algorithmic stablecoin called like Thor USD, which would be created by burning Rune and minting, you know, that. And obviously, there's a few key differences. One being, I don't think that they would ever let. I think they ought to have a cap on it, so it's not like it doesn't become over like under collateralized like Luna. But more importantly, I think they were always going to plan on making it very safe, and I'm sure now they'll make it a lot more safe. And also, the problem with Luna is the only thing that Luna did was allow you to make the stable coins, which is it's like the Rick and Morty, like, what is my purpose? You serve butter. It's like, what is my purpose? You create a UST. Oh my God. It's kind of like one of those things. And so I don't know the thing about, because Rune is useful for a lot of things, right? It's like transaction fees, it's like a necessary to collateralize pools, it's a bunch of stuff. Because it has outside uses, it can't really go to zero the same way, at least not like that. So it's a different situation, but it does still add some new flavors to this whole thing. Did you meet yourself by accident, maybe? No. I still can't hear right now. Well, let me just.
I muted
There we
myself
go.
by accident. Okay.
There we go. All right, go for it.
Well, if there had been a use case for Luna, if there had been something to do with this stablecoin, that would have been great. I mean, something to do with this coin, even governance, even I don't know, whatever use cases you can stack on top of these things. It would have been better than just to have one purpose, and that purpose being burned or being minted to generate stable coins. It's just bad, man. But like, you think about the way the ecosystem was booming around it. I personally definitely thought, okay, it's cool that we're getting a smart contract blockchain. Is it a smart contract blockchain? Yes, it is. That is being used for stable coins, because we now are able to see how that experiment works out, to see how, like, let's say the Ethereum ecosystem would have been if instead of not stable tokens, we were dealing with pure USD. So it's very unfortunate to see it. I mean, this is going to set it back 4 years, if not completely kill it. So we might never see how that would have played out. And on the other side, of course, you have people literally killing themselves because they deployed all of their capital into Anchor to earn themselves what they thought was a retirement, and now is their bankruptcy. Poor people. And a whole version of the DeFi ecosystem that I think would have been very interesting to see. It's now completely wiped off and probably forever.
Yeah, I think that we can still have that level of ecosystem still. Like, just think that Terra moved too quickly and was too heavily based on this thing, on the fact that the stable coin's gonna work. But it's not like being able to. The thing is, for example, Anchor was paying out way more than could actually be afforded by the borrowers, right? There's too many people lending on Anchor getting paid way more than, the other side. So that was a subsidy. A lot of crypto's based on subsidy. I think this all should really serve as a lesson that we're advancing at such a fast pace with crypto in general. But things that are not doing well in behind structurally, fundamentally, can really destroy the project, what seems like overnight, but actually has been taking a while. So, for example, we see this whole nonsense going on. I'm worried about any project that doesn't have like a sustainable fee mechanism in place without inflation, which is n basically everything that's not called Ethereum today, right? Like Bitcoin in particular, because it's the safest, the biggest, the most stable out there, kind of. But the fee revenue is like negligible. And what happens? Like, who's going to keep on mining once the inflation goes away? I mean, inflation's going to take a long time to go fully away, but the next halvening, like halvening, the only way for it to keep growing is for it to keep like doubling it, to grow in price faster than the halvening takes away the block reward, because like there's a little bit of a Ponzi element to the way Bitcoin's working today because the fees aren't growing, and I
Yes,
don't,
because that doesn't give you anything back. It just like doesn't.
I'm yeah, so the only way forward for Bitcoin, for example, it's one of two things. Either one, everyone has to use Lightning, and per transaction Lightning has to be extremely expensive, like, or per, I mean, like on-chain transaction for that, meaning you can't just do like if I wanted to open a new channel to you and that costs like $70, $80, no one's going to do that. Just never going to work. But if one transaction represents a channel factory that opens up 100 different channels or 200 channels or whatever, and it's just cost that much, that's just like what a large institution would be doing. That could scale, but the fees need to go way up, which is going to be a rude awakening for a lot of people. Or Bitcoin needs a tail emission, like permanent inflation, like a 1% permanent inflation forever. And I both of those things would be very rough to implement. But I'm not saying Bitcoin's going to go do a Luna and go crash, but things need to be fixed. And I like to look at the site cryptofees.info because it shows you all the fees generated by some of the top crypto networks. And almost all of them are like basically nothing, but some of them are good. In fact, let me look at that right now because it has been pretty funny. The top in one day fees for any cryptocurrency out there right now is Terra, which is pretty
Is
funny because so many people were dumping their coins trying to get out, and every transaction swap costs a fee to get, out from like UST and basically all the network usage made it the absolute most, but it was almost never on this list at all, like high on the list until very recently. But that was the one day fees are 55 million, it looks like. Now Ethereum's making 41 million a day, which is, that's something. And buying a smart chain is 1.7 million. And then all the way down to Bitcoin, which had a bump in fees and activity, is like 800,000, about 872,000 a day. And then Avalanche 777. Everything else goes really far down after that. And they're almost all smart contract chains, right? Like Bitcoin Cash is generating $183 a day in fees. Like, oof, that's like nothing. So,
$183 in total.
yes.
Shit, that's nothing.
Yes, and that's it's almost all chains are like that still, even older ones, in that they're running on, I consider that like VC money, like startup capital, because they're running on inflation to like the miners need the inflation to stay solvent right now. And over time that's supposed to turn into fees, but is not quite, Yeah, and Great Wolf by the way commented, almost afraid to ask what BCH and Dash is generating in fees. I just mentioned the BCH down there. But probably for a better idea, like Zcash, it doesn't this chart doesn't have Dash on it for some reason, but it does have Decred and Zcash, which is about $70 a day. Oof, that's like
Really?
nothing. Just absolutely, that's like nothing. Bitcoin SV is a is
Can you drop this link here so I can see it as well?
yeah, cryptofees.info. That's the website.
Let me
And
see. Let me
so
see.
Litecoin is like $1,000 or $1,300 a day. Dogecoin is almost 4,000, but it's still like it, this is like peanuts. This is nothing. It's so
And in comparison, Terra right now is 55 million.
yeah, that's
Ethereum
because
is 41 million.
yeah. Terra is not going to be there, obviously. It has not been there very long, and it won't be there very long for obvious reasons.
Right.
As
What? Bitcoin Satoshi's vision is using, it's generating more than BCH.
yeah, that's because they have a ton of transactions, like millions and millions, but they're really low value things. So
How do they have so many transactions?
they just do. They have big blocks, and then I think this is my contra maybe I'm not sure if it's controversial, but this is my opinion, is 99% of Bitcoin SV transactions are made for the purpose of having transactions on the chain. Like, as in, they don't really serve a real purpose, kind of. They might serve like a,
I
it's, yeah.
can imagine that.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's just take something like really like obvious. Let's just say you want 40 million, like Ethereum's making $40 million a day in fees, which is it's good, but it's not, I mean, it's not amazing, amazing by crypto standards it is. So 40. So 40 million. At, if you imagine transactions at 1 cent, just a straight up financial payment, 1 cent. 40 million times 100. That's 400. That's like 4 billion transactions per day. For just money, 1 penny transactions. So basically, you'd have to be half the world, half the planet using a cryptocurrency and spending it once a day, sending one transaction a day that costs 1 cent in order to make that kind of revenue off of fees, which is, it's very rough. Like, I think that first off, you'd have to be like a lot of people using it like several times a day, and the fees would have to be more than 1 cent, I think, which is sad because I remember when Bitcoin got to 5 cents and people were bitching. So,
Nah.
but also you have to have there has to be more complex transactions, like, any of that smart contract stuff has to be done. So you have to really have a bunch of different revenue sources at that point. So yeah, it's kind of a grim picture if you think about it like that, but I mean, I think you gotta just scale. Like, you gotta just get a lot of people using it and see where you go from there. Some
There
of
was
it, yeah.
a blog post by Vitalik back in the day, and he was saying there that his target for what a transaction should cost is something around 5 cents, and that was like the threshold where it could mean it could start being used by anything. And then of course, like in remember you remember those days. Moving Ethereum around was a lot cheaper than moving Bitcoin around.
Yes,
And
I
the
remember
amounts
that.
were honestly ne negligible. Whereas nowadays, you just can't. You just rather not use the Ethereum chain. You rather go to your centralized exchange than use Uniswap. You rather do everything like in the old manner because using the mainnet is just so costly.
That's where
So,
I'm
yeah,
at today.
long way to go there.
So now 5 cents would make things a lot easier. You would need just like a little under a billion transactions a day to make that kind of revenue. But the thing is, like, more complex transactions kind of make sense too. Like, for example, what if people want to do coin joins or other privacy in like more intensive kind of transactions? Okay, well, you can go do that. What if someone wanted to, like, make a lot of payments to people, like what company was doing, like daily micro payments and stuff. And it's like, okay, well, you might do a lot of payments that way, or you might do like, if it becomes too computationally expensive to do that, or let's just say you have 5 cent transactions, you might have like a 20 cent like payment channel opening and closing or something, and then all the little ones are less. Or, operations and stuff are good, like for like data operations. So, like, for example, let's just take the example I'm more familiar with, which is Dash. Imagine 1 to 5 cent transactions for like regular transactions, and then for like data contract stuff on Dash platform, then you get to, bridge over to those fees there, and then it might be like, let's just say you spend 25 cents a day sending money around directly. Like, oh, I'm going to send this, that's not that bad. But then you do, or 20 cents, 50 cents, $1 a day, whatever. But then you spend another dollar or two a day on heavy data load. Like, you put a lot of like tweets on the decentralized Twitter, you do a bunch of other things here, and then it starts to like add up to where now you have like a customer spending like $100, a couple $100 a month or something like that on the blockchain, and then with enough people and usage, that translates to actual profits and revenue. But the thing is, it's very difficult to predict a free market, to
It is.
say, and I would think no one's ever done it. Like, I don't think anyone, even the most successful entrepreneurs in the world, just had their vision and they just executed and they made money. I think they had to readjust thousands of times on the way to get to that vision before they finally got something revenue positive, you know? So,
Well, let me ask you something. Do you think we've ever had such a thing as a proper free market?
no. I mean, there is nothing perfect, but it's just like saying, have we ever had a sunny day? Yeah, but there's always like some like different ozone levels up there. It's always like something a little like there's always addendums to that, right? Perfect day, perfect whatever. It's like not we can have a really good one, but not perfect, I don't think.
But I mean, like you could even say that blockchains are going to be like the first experiment of actual free markets. And the one last thing that I wanted to say about the Terra thing is that, of course, it's just endlessly ironic that nowadays you have the Federal Reserve asking people to please back up their fucking money before they print it, which is just amazing. We're back to square one to where crypto started.
Yeah. It's crazy the way it shakes out like that. It's so funny to see like the Luna thing, the entire thing ended up being like an experiment in central banking, but without the force of the law to make people do things. I'm sure there have been a bunch of, I'm sure there have been other fiat currencies that have had the same, like that happened in Venezuela, right? You just all of a sudden it starts hyperinflating like insanely, but they managed to hold on up until today because by just telling their citizens they have to use this. And that's kind of sad. Let's see. What do we have next on this whole thing? Ethereum plunges, chain analysis. Let's see. This is a good one to talk about. The NFT platform thing. Well,
Okay.
so before we go to that, let's just go more into like the greater bear market. So the stuff is going, number go down. Peter Schiff is happy, he's gets to have fun on Twitter now. talking smack about all everything going down. First off, do you think, I mean, this is always going to be a question, but do you think we're at a bear market now, like I do?
I mean, market cycles, and I'm not talking about crypto market cycles, I'm talking about like macroeconomic market cycles, certainly seem to point that way. I want to keep deluding myself that we're not in a bear market, we probably are.
Yeah, that makes sense. I was pretty sure about it after last fall, like t into the winter, that we were hitting into that. But a lot of people were like, "Well, I don't know if there's going to be a bear market. I just think it's going to kind of be a little tapering off." And then, because of the mass adoption cycle, because of hyper Bitcoinization, it's going to not really happen this time. And
Okay, here's a quick experiment.
yes.
Tell me what you think are the top 10 coins in order right now.
I have no idea, to be honest. I know there's Bitcoin and Ethereum. I'm confident on those two. I think it's
Yes.
Tether. And then, man, it's been so long. It's probably what is it? I'm just gonna throw in Solana. That's probably in the
I'm
top 10,
going to
but
give
not
you another
there.
shot, and I'm going to tell you it's a disappointment.
Binance Smart Chain.
USDC.
Yeah, another
Then
one.
it comes BNB. So in the top 10, we have Bitcoin and Ethereum. Then we have two stable coins. Then we have BNB XRP for some reason. How did this thing get back in the top 10? Cardano. Then we have another stable coin, BUSD, then Solana, then Dogecoin. So it's funny how, I mean, it's funny how things look, right? Like you have the most popular smart contract blockchain, you have Bitcoin, then
Yeah.
you have three stable coins, two proof of stake chains that aren't doing that hot. And yeah, a bit of a disappointing picture, to be honest.
Yeah, it's the thing about the market cap rankings is the crypto means very different things today than it means back in 2011, 2012, 2013, those kinds of eras, even 2017. Like, for one, I don't think that a stable coin deserves a market cap because it's built on another platform and it's collateral, almost all of them are collateralized in some way by fiat. So how is fiat a crypto? You know, like, for example, let's just assume for a second that Tether was backed 1-to-1 with dollars in the bank account, which, you know, is my first joke of the night. But let's just assume it was. How is that a crypto worthy of a crypto market cap? It's like it has like outside capital involved in it, you know? It does make sense. So I would exclude all stable coins, basically. And anything that's like collateralized, like for example, Luna and UST back when that was an actual thing, I wouldn't have those two as market caps. I would subtract one from the other, you know, because one's value is entirely dependent on the other's value. And so it just doesn't make sense. Like, for example, any wrapped Bitcoin, like, why the hell does that have its own market cap? And why can't we subtract its market cap from Bitcoin's market cap? So
Right.
there's like a bunch of weird things going on. And then there's a bunch of weird, like, company type things. Like, how is Solana not like a company? You know, why is it like a decentralized crypto project? Not really. And there's just a lot of weird stuff. Like, how is UST not a company? You know, or man, how is like Taro? How is that not a company?
Right, and you can say that about like a couple of the ones you can see. There's one thing in the top 20 that I never heard about. It's called Unus Sed Leo. What the hell is that?
I have heard of Leo, but I think that that's. But isn't it kind of funny how there's literally the A game, the top 10 that you've never even heard of?
I mean, like this Leo thing, I never heard of it.
Yeah.
It looks super centralized for like the what I can get from the description that I'm reading. Then you just have a bunch of runners up. Ethereum Classic, it's still in the top 30. It's doing harder than Monero. Look at that.
Yeah, that's
I never
crazy.
look at this data. Like I just got interested with the fees thing. Bitcoin Cash is at 23. Yeah, it looks like there's also like this just reminds me that we are not that far off, right? Like,
Yeah.
it might seem like a lot of things happened from 2018, like the last best bear market, but at the same time, you can still see like Stellar is like just one. It's just right after Chainlink. Chainlink is 25 and Stellar is 26. Uniswap is right below Bitcoin Cash. So like nothing ever changes that much.
Yeah, it is kind of sad, I guess. But the thing is, we are still, and this is one of those things that it sounds like things that salty holders of OG proof of work blockchains who are doing crappy in the market cap say, but it's true that we're still in the speculative cycle of crypto, where, I mean, as I pointed out, Ethereum is one of the only ones that gets any kind of decent revenue. It's like revenue positive, right, of any of the blockchains. And even then, Ethereum's like, what are people paying for in Ethereum? To mint and buy NFTs, but not good ones, like crappy ones that are a picture of a stupid monkey, and then they're like they hope it goes up in value. So that's that. And it's DeFi, they're playing the casino. They want to like ring cherry pie. Ooh, I won, you know. That's like 90% of the utility is on that. And that's like gets a little sad. And then you got projects that get a lot of real use. Like, let's just say I'm gonna name a couple, just like Hive. The Hive world has a lot of content creators and apps, things being built on that. I don't know how high it is. It's probably a second pager. Library, the Library blockchain is like ranked 900th or something like that. It's almost around where Luna is right now, which is kind of funny.
Is it that far
But
back?
it's really far back. And it's like, but Odyssey, which uses Library, has like 30 or 40 million monthly users. And it's like, wow, that's a lot. That's a lot of people. And then Wax, which is the NFT, the EOS based NFT blockchain that Ken Bozak, who was just in the chat, hi Ken, uses a lot. Suppose that some big brands like, Mattel, Topps, Funko Pop, all those guys are making NFTs on Wax. Almost no one's heard of Wax for some reason, if you're not in the NFT space. And they're, according to Blocktivity, they're one of like the top, they're the top of Blocktivity, but compared to like maybe Solana and something else, they're in the top three most used blockchains on the planet as far as transactions, and no one's heard of this, right? Because they're making tons of NFTs off and doing a bunch of little things. Like, there's a lot of real utility that just no one hears about because it's not like priced in properly yet. And still, everything that's getting all the attention for the most part is just based on hype and speculation and trading and stuff. And so we're not at the spot in the world where we're going to see utility actually translate into market capitalization rankings. I think we're going to start to see a little bit more of that in the next bull cycle. But if I were to make a bet, which I don't know how you could, I don't know how you could prove this bet or not, who won or not, but I would say, let's just say 3 years from now, there's going to be a bull cycle. I would say 7 years from now, right? The next bull one after the coming bull cycle is when we'll start to see, when we'll actually be seeing the market cap makes sense based on how many people are using it and how many people are making money off of using the real economic activity on these blockchains. So it's going to be a long time, in my personal opinion. I would bet like whatever the purchasing power of like $100 is on that bet, and we'll see in 7 years from now. There you go.
How old are you going to be in 7 years?
Dating me right now. Like early 40s, 41, 42, somewhere around there.
Of
No,
course.
not dead yet.
I'm going to be late 30s. Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds
Don't
like a
like to.
lot.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm coming up very soon on 10 years of like knowing about and talking about crypto, and almost in September, it'll be 9 years of me using crypto, like owning some and sending and receiving it. So I'm already this far in. What's another 7 years? I mean, already I'm more than halfway there. Well, all right. I'm
Right.
almost like, so I think that we got so close with movie theaters and big corporations and all this kind of stuff using and leveraging crypto like now, and a few countries calling it legal tender and things like that. We've gotten close enough this time that I think that it's going to be the early majority cycle in the next cycle. I think that next bull run, you'll have like, 10 to 20% of people in developed countries probably using crypto. It'll be about like when point of sale devices first started adding Apple Pay and stuff like that. It'll be like that level of adoption, kind of like where like most people won't be, but you'll still see some people using it. And then it'll past that, it'll probably be, further than that until like the speculation starts to die down a little bit, and the market cap ratios will be a little bit more realistic. I don't know. What do you think of that projection? Do you think that's realistic or not?
I feel like, and we can close with this. I feel like, in the grander scheme of things, I mean, in the grander, yeah. I don't know. It's scheme. Scheme, that was the word I was looking
Yes.
for.
Or in crypto, the grander scam of things.
The grander scheme is actually quite fitting here. In my mind, it's just going to be, I'm stalling to think of something smart to say. It's all going to be pretty similar to what you see in the centralized world, right? I don't think Look, I'm not a big believer in Web3. I'm a big believer in the power of decentralized things, but I think there's going to be a point in which that is going to coexist with Web3 and one is going to be used alongside with the other. So I don't know. I guess we'll be testing the limits of this statement by that point. We'll be near to figuring out if Web3 can ever exist or if we're stuck with a world in which Web3 and Web2 interact.
Yeah.
I guess that'd be my answer.
It's an interesting concept. I think that, like, I mean, I do think that Web3 is going to take over, but I think that it's going to be more. Web3 is not the Web3 we're thinking of. Like, Web4 is what we're working for. There's always going to be another web. Like, I do think that the MetaMask style stuff that we're using will probably become standard issue in a few years, but it's still trusting a node to run it. And you don't have to trust it, but you have to run your own if you don't. I think that'll probably be a little bit more of the standard. And then Web 4 or whatever, where you can just interact directly with the blockchain from your from the client side without having to run your own node is going to be like a competition for that. But yeah, I guess we'll see. Let's hit on this thing real quick on our way out, right? The NFT thing, which it goes on the whole adoption thing, which NFTs for a lot of people, I think, were the signal of like bull market top of like, look at all this stupid crap that people are spending money on. But anyway, NFT platform for ticketing and music announces global token launch on Bittrex Global's IEO platform, Starting Block. The music industry is what some consider a mess with scalpers and fraudulent tickets circling around. Fortunately, NFTs may be a way to something better. So, first, what's your hot take on that?
I really don't have a hot take here, sorry. I'm just
Okay.
like wondering, well, where this will go. It doesn't seem like it's the end of the story to me.
Yeah. Well, basically just basically it's kind of like a brief headline into NFT starting to move into a more practical space. I did interview a couple people this last week or last couple weeks, whatever, on utilitarian NFTs. Not just what you could do, but what you can do today and what is being done today. And there's a lot of interesting stuff being done that is, I guess, boring, right? It's not like get you rich quick, but like right now you can set up and, I'm going to be doing this pretty soon, I guess, make subscriber NFTs to where if someone has an NFT, they just authenticate to get into a super chat or whatever. And so you can, and they can just resell like if someone's like joins your Patreon or whatever, they like buy a spot in there, but then they could just, if they get bored of it, they could sell it to someone else, like resell it, and you could get a piece of that resale fee. And now someone else is in there rather than, just the old Patreon model. Like that's stuff you can do, and people are doing today. You could do keypad authentication stuff. Like instead of like having to type in a keypad to get in someplace, you could just scan the QR code and authenticate that you have the NFT that grants you access to a physical location and opens your door, right? There's stuff like that, ticketing, there's mutable NFTs that have mutable, like changeable data in there to where you can just update them over time with other things. There's a the NFT world is going to be absolutely huge. And I just don't think it's going to be a boring huge though. I don't think it's going to be like, oh my gosh, I made so much money on this chimpanzee. Like, I think it's going to be, oh, I have a company that minted a million NFTs, sold them all for like $5 to $10 per, and a bunch of people bought them because they needed them to do the thing that they were doing. And then like, oh, this company issued all their rewards points as NFTs now instead. And so they're using the platform and making like a few cents per NFT on this thing. And just like boring things, but it's going to make people rich behind the scenes who do this. So,
Yeah, that kind of thing is interesting. In particular, ticketing is one that doesn't really interest me. Like, it's one that I think it's never going to completely do the jump to NFTs due to like the difficulties of preventing resellers from taking over the whole market, from preventing, you know, there's just a bunch of stuff that goes on with tickets. Okay, you have to KYC people in some way. In my mind, it's never going to be worth it. But for stuff like what you're mentioning, yeah, it's boring. Yes, probably. I mean, is the web used for a lot of boring things every day? Of course. So like, that's important, right? Like, we're building like the new. In the end, the web is a mechanism for communication, right? It's a technology of information. So you have to, I mean, you have to think of it in that way. Everything that go that is communicated, and nowadays that actually involves money as well, is going to go through Web3 at some point if you are a big believer of Web3. And then you have to think, okay, is this something that needs to be in a different type of web? And that could li leave you somewhere. That could land you somewhere. I think NFTs are definitely going to be big, are definitely going to be useful, are definitely not Bored Apes.
Yeah, definitely not. I mean, I think some of the original Bored Apes will maintain an even increase in value over time, but not all of them. Very few. Like that Beeple NFT that had like the big stitch of all of the NFTs together that sold for that record amount. I think that will always be very valuable. But then following ones, not nearly as much. I think so. And also predictions, like this show, right? This channel has got me in the habit of paying attention to what's going on and actually thinking about it and forming opinions and having other smart people like yourself on to talk about it and kind of figure things out. But ultimately, and this, I guess, is a great way to wrap this whole thing up. I have no idea what's going to happen. I did not know in 2006, 7, and 8 that crypto would exist. I was still trying to find ways of like getting like gold-backed debit cards and stuff. And like, yeah, you know, that's why I thought it was going to go. And all of a sudden, there's this thing. I never thought I'd be living without government money for like the past 7 years. You know, it's crazy. I never thought any of this stuff. And the only thing it can do at this point is, I just have to be there as it's being built. Like, I don't
That's
know where
a
it's.
way better term than fiat. We should just start saying government money. The whole thing will be unused by the end of that month if we all start saying government money.
But it's true. People trust government money today. And even if you call it government money, they trust it because they're, well, I trust the government, kind of. Eventually, they're not going to trust the government. That's just like trusting a government issued anything, like a government issued smartphone. Like, no one's going to buy that from the US government or any other government. It's ridiculous. But so I think that the only way forward, the only way to know where this is going is to have a hand in going there. So I'm always going to try to live, continue to try to live on crypto the most decentralized way I can. I'm always going to be trying to build and advocate for the advancement of these systems. And just like I did not give two shits about NFTs about like 6 months ago. And now I'm like trying to make some of my own and be part of that space and like just get that forward because I didn't know it was going to happen, but it did. So I see where it goes by being part of it. And so we as people who are part of crypto, the best thing, we get the front row seat to watch it happen, you know? And I'm very grateful that even if the space ends up completely different and all the projects I loved and I worked hard on and invested in and all that stuff just go to zero, I'm still very grateful that I'm part of this whole movement. And I'll be at the front wherever we're headed.
All right, yeah. Great message. I second it completely. Man, thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, thanks very much for being on. You're always a good pleasure. Thanks everyone for watching, by the way. Next week, another Digital Cash rundown. I can't remember off the top. Let me actually just find who's on so I can tease it. Of course, there's always like a possibility of a cancellation. Then you can be angry at this person too. Yeah, it's Crypto Stash. Shay also is Crypto Stash is gonna be on. And then I'm having the Dash podcast next week as well. So look forward to that, guys. Happy bear market. Don't get wrecked. Go outside, get some exercise, get some sun, keep your job. Maybe get a new one at McDonald's if you need to. I don't know. And yeah, I guess I'll see you guys later. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, subscribe so you don't miss an episode and donate to support the show by going to my Cointree page. That's cointr.ee/thedesertlinks and leave a message with your donation. Check out the show's sponsors. Live on crypto with BitRefill. Buy absolutely anything with crypto with ShopinBit. Avoid content censorship with Odyssey. Protect your privacy online with NordVPN. Get paid to search with Presearch. All links are in the show notes.